G7, number 25B.
So if we would give to this law a name, a term, perhaps we would say this is the law of the infinite self-reflection. The infinite reflects itself on itself. It's a self-reflection. Yes. That is the level of science itself. Now, why are there other levels? There are other levels because we know and we feel humanly that we cannot always entertain that level of science itself with its law. We are humans and we know that there are thousands of years of traditional beliefs inherited within our whole makeup, and those suggestions, those beliefs, they just pop up here and there and all over the place, and therefore we can easily see that this law of the self-reflection of being is a very high law. It's a law that we can perhaps entertain in the stillness of our prayer, in the stillness of our contemplation. But the world is so rugged that it brings in many other buts and whys. And so, because there are these buts and whys, we need to have a law that is also governing other levels of consciousness. And the next further down level is divine science. And that divine science, you see, has already four periods in it, four sides of the holy city in it. There it starts with Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. You may ask, why doesn't the level of science itself not have the four in it? Well, it's very natural that it doesn't have the four in it, because the level of science itself does nothing else but to contemplate itself. There is no actual dynamic, creative, impulsive creation going on, so that the one infinite one does not need to have anything else but itself. But when you come to divine science, then we come to that level, where we begin to ask, but how does that level of science operate? How does it operate in the universe? And with divine science, you take in for the first time the universe and say, we have to deal with the universe, that's how we are born, that's where how we live, that we have around us a terrific universe. And that universe has to be understood. We have to see what is going on. And by saying what is going on, I appeal at the dynamics of being. I say something about the dynamics, the operation of being. And so we come here in divine science to the self-operation of being. It's no more reflecting on itself as on the level of science. It's no more contemplating itself. It is now contemplating how that infinite principle is operating in the whole universe, so that the whole universe is one universe. So can you see the difference between the level of science itself and divine science? You just can pinpoint it with a few words. The level of science itself has to do with the infinite one, capitalized one, the infinite one. Divine science has to do with the infinite oneness, small one, small O, not the capital O. So the infinite one is translated to the level of infinite oneness, which means that we contemplate principle and idea, now we bring in idea, being one. So principle and idea is one, and this one is God. In order to see that it is one, small o, the oneness of being, we have to see that in this universe there is just one operation going on. One operation, namely the one cybernetic operation, the self-organizing oneness or principle of being. Therefore you have at once, the moment you have operation, you have to take in work, Christ, Christianity and science, because they are the operational sense in being. So the moment we contemplate that dynamic operational sense of being, we come to the self-operation, the law of self-operation, the law of self-organization. And so we have those four sides of the holy city in it. What does that law mean on the mind science? So we have to keep the pedal note of that law, namely oneness, in our ear, in our spiritual ear, and see that we are talking about the oneness of principle and idea being one. How are principle and idea one? When we see that principle operates as infinite ideas, but these ideas are ideas of principle, bringing them back to principle. Or else we have a duality, a principle, and a universe of ideas. So we need the fourth side of the city also. So we can see that in the oneness of being, the synonymous terms that are given there, John Dolly has done that, he has given there as the word only one synonymous term, namely life, the way of life. As the Christ, only one synonymous term, namely truth, Christ, truth. As the synonymous term for Christianity, only one synonymous term, namely love. The Christianity of love. And in science we have the divine principle, love. I said, let's not lose, so to say, the pedal note of oneness. Therefore, if we contemplate this synonymous term, the word of life, the Christ truth, the Christianity love, and the divine science principle love, we must always see that it has to do with the one life. That's the accent. It is the one life, not many lives. The one truth, only one Christ, the one truth, not many truths. The one love, not the many loves. And the one principle or divine principle love, the one principle. So these synonymous terms, don't forget that they always show that the oneness of it, one life, one truth, one love, one principle love. What really does that mean? It means that the word of life is just one life. There is not many lives. There are not many lives. There is just that one life. What is life? Life is the well of existence, the well of life, the source of life, the infinite well of life is perhaps the best way to say, from where everything comes forth, from where everything becomes into life, huh? One life, one truth. There is only one truth, and that what Mrs. Eddy calls Christ, comma, truth, which means that there is only one Christ, and not many Christs, just one Christ, and one Christianity, love, and not many Christianities, and one principle, love, one science. Divine science is the only science. Now, if we see those four, we can ask ourselves now, what is the law that is reigning on this level? And we can perhaps in one word say it is actually that cybernetic law of input, process, output, feedback, Or you can say, instead of the cybernetic law, you can say this is the law of self-organization. Why self-organization? Because that law shows how from the oneness of being, you have the oneness of being by seeing that there is only one operation going on, only one infinite operation going on. And that one infinite operation is always, that's the one, is always using the whole of the synonymous term. The one life, not an aspect of life, not an individual sense of life. It uses always the whole truth as a Christ, not just an idea of the Christ, a Christ idea. It's not the Christ idea, it's the Christ truth. It always operates as the one love, always as the one love, therefore always as the whole of love. Can you see? The whole of love. Therefore, in science, as the whole of the divine principle love. So just keep in your ear that oneness always implies the wholeness, not individualized ideas, always the whole. And so we really would get here a law that would say, well, in the oneness of being, there is a law at work which says everything stems from the whole life. And everything is, so to say, operated through the whole Christ truth. And has as its effect always appears as a whole love, not as an idea of love. And always brings back that wholeness back to the principle love, to the whole of principle love. Now, that has been perhaps a bit theoretical. Now I put it into practical terms, which is very important. If you have practice, or if you have your life problems, or if you have your life practice, everybody is a practitioner. Everybody has at least two patients, namely himself and the universe. He never loses those two patients. Mostly a third one, namely the husband. So, if we go through this law, we are not going through a theoretical law. We are going through a law which, when we practice it, is quite terrific. Always listening to the whole. To the whole. Because we are used too much to think in terms of ideas, of specific ideas, of individual ideas. Whereas on the level of divine science, we always have to do with the whole synonymous term. So the law would state that if I take that law, I can take it, say, through every one of the seven synonymous terms. Oh, that's now difficult, huh? Because I have said there is only one life and one truth and one love and one principle of, then I say, let's take that through the seven synonymous terms. So I must make here a footnote. That footnote means, and you have to know that because the critics will come up with that question, that says, why is there at the point of intersection of word in divine science just one synonymous term, life? How can you do that? Because life is one of the seven synonymous terms and reflects all the other synonymous terms. You can't have there just life and cut out the other six synonymous terms. It's a good question. The answer is that we do not do that. That what we have in the model of being, in those intersections, is always the accentuation. The accentuation. Can you know what I mean? You have a whole globe on your desk, the whole globe, and you look at the whole globe, and you turn it a little around, it's always the whole. So it's just one globe. But if you turn it, you always see a different globe. You see suddenly the North Pole, and suddenly you see it from the South Pole, and suddenly you see just one big Pacific Ocean and very little islands in it, or then you suddenly see that tremendous big land for different pictures. So we don't say the other synonymous terms are cut out. We say, what do we know if we accentuate one synonymous term? Not forgetting that that reflects all the other synonymous terms. That's naturally quite so. Huh? It's always the accentuation. So here the accentuation is the whole, the one whole. So I can take the other synonymous term and say, well, how does really mind appear when I have mind looked at from the whole in the four aspect of the holy city? So I take, for instance, mind, and I go quickly through it and come back and then go through it again in a slower way. What we see here is a wonderful law that says, for instance, as mind, that mind we know as perhaps the power of manifestation. So we can see here the law that says mind manifests itself, and now comes the word, out of itself. Out of itself, that's the word. Out of the whole mind. Not out of a little bit of mind. That mind manifests itself in the Christ, that it manifests itself through the whole of mind. That's a big, big thing. Because we always think that God manifests itself through some specific idea of mind, not through the whole mind. But if we see, if we are on divine science, we can see mind cannot lose its oneness, its wholeness. Therefore, no matter where I am, if I am at the word, then I see mind manifests itself out of the whole of mind. It manifests itself through which channel? Through which Christ? Through the whole of mind. Not through ideas of mind. Through the whole mind. And it manifests itself as what? Not as an idea of mind. But it manifests itself always as the whole of mind. Can mind manifest itself less than the whole of mind? It can't. Huh? So it manifests itself always as the whole of mind. Your demonstration is always the whole of mind. And then we come to the fourth, the feedback, and it manifests itself for the whole glory of mind. Not for any other glory. We think that it manifests itself for a healing, and that's that. But it takes it right back to the origin and says that whole law operates always for the glory of God, not for the glory of man, not for the glory of a situation, always for the glory of the whole. That's terrific. We usually stop at the individual idea and never bring it back to the glory of God. If we don't bring it back to the glory of God, we have no feedback to the world anymore, and therefore the feedback is not there, therefore the input is not bigger than before, is not rising higher, is not spiraling higher, and therefore we are always on the same routine, always on the same routine, just a circling round. So if you have in your practice a case and you say, now how shall I look at that case? And you say, well, my consciousness can rise to the level of divine science where I see there is only oneness in being. There is not a lot of accumulated, isolated ideas in being. That's the oneness of being. Can you still hear the tonality, the pedal note, oneness, wholeness? Yes? So that you begin to see what is happening in that universe. What is going on in that universe? The moment you say what is going on, you have the dynamics of it. You need the four of it. That's the operational sense of it. You need the four of it. But on the level of divine science, you say, well, there is that one infinite mind. Now that one infinite mind manifests itself. How? It manifests itself out of its whole mind, out of itself, out of the whole of mind. The whole of mind is at the disposition for every situation, the whole of mind, not just little bits of mind. The whole of mind is our source, is our one life source. So I go further and I see mind manifests itself out of itself, out of the wholeness of itself. How does it come to the universe? Through the Christ. So it manifests itself through the whole of mind, not through an idea of mind, through the whole of mind. Can mind manifest itself just a little bit, or is mind always the whole of mind? Therefore, can you see how such a treatment is universal? It's absolutely universal. Why such a treatment has a universal impact on the world, even on those who don't know anything about Christian Science and don't know about our practice. The universe is being blessed because it manifests itself through the channel of the whole of mind. The whole mind in the whole universe is operating as the Christ. Never forget that. Over oceans and continents. And what does it bring forth as a result, as an output? Does it bring forth just a little healing or a little solution of a problem or what? Just a little truth? No, it brings always forth itself. So it always manifests itself as the whole of mind, not as a little idea of mind, as the whole of mind. That's our outcome, that's our demonstration, that always the whole of mind is being demonstrated. We cannot belittle mind. We cannot split up mind into little parts and say only one little part of mind is being expressed and is being demonstrated. We can't, because we are living in our consciousness in the oneness of mind. So it demonstrates itself always as the whole of mind. And always, the fourth feedback, always for one thing, as Mrs. Eddy would say, that Jesus came to prove the principle of being. Must always be brought back to the principle. Jesus came not in order to prove healing, sin, sickness and death. He came to prove the whole of principle, the whole principle love. And so we always go further and say, well, that treatment was for the glory of God, for the whole glory of God, for the whole principle, for the whole divine principle love. That was the purpose of that law. Yes? Can you listen, or can you keep in mind that level where you always have the oneness of being? If there is a oneness of being, then no parts can be demonstrated. No parts are under consideration. Always the whole. That oneness becomes the whole. And so we can see a synonymous term, when it is operating through the fourfold calculus, cannot lose a little bit, not the slightest bit of its wholeness. It remains always what it is, its wholeness. So you can take another synonymous term and see what happens there. You can take spirit and say, what does spirit do in that law? Perhaps you are engaged in a question of evolution. You say, well, spirit evolves always itself out of itself, always out of the whole spirit, and not just one idea unfolding. Out of the whole spirit, that spirit unfolds itself. So out of itself. So spirit unfolds out of itself. It unfolds through the whole of spirit. That's the Christ. It operates through the whole of spirit. Every aspect of spirit is engaged in that demonstration. Every aspect. There is not a lot of aspects that say, I go to sleep and let me alone. No, always the whole is at work. Always the whole. And so it evolves itself as the whole of spirit. The whole spirit, the whole Holy Spirit, so to say, is at work and is working and bringing out what spirit wants to bring out. Always the whole of spirit. And that is always for the glory of spirit. For the glory of spirit. Not for the glory of a person, of a pioneer, of a big shot, and so on. That's not the case. It's always for the glory of spirit. Yes? For the whole of spirit. For that glory. Again, spirit evolves itself out of the whole of spirit. Out of. It evolves itself always through the channel of the Christ, always evolves itself through the whole of spirit. And it goes to Christianity and evolves itself always as the whole of spirit, and not just as an idea of spirit, as the whole of spirit. And it evolves itself always for what? Not for the glory of man, not for the glory of a teacher, not for the glory of an age, not for the glory of a science, always for the glory of the one spirit that is evolving. That's the law. And so you can take any other synonymous term and go right through it. You have a jolly good time for a whole hour. If you do that. In that way, you see, one cultures one's consciousness systematically. To take the end as a beginning, I intertwine here, or I make a footnote, we will naturally see that we have other laws operating, not only this law, and that therefore we must see that this is only operating if our consciousness is at the level of divine science. And there we can take every synonymous term and elaborate it right through mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, as the whole of the world, as the whole of the Christ, and expressing itself as the whole of the... Sorry, I said it wrongly. Always manifesting itself out of the whole of mind, through the whole of mind, as the whole of mind, and always for the glory of that one mind, that it is whole. Yes? That's the law.